Welcome to Telling Tales, the place to get your fiction fix. In each episode, we'll have a story for you. Maybe you'll find yourself in a far-flung corner of the world, or deep in the French countryside, or even on the banks of the River Tyne. We'll take you to places where the past and the present merge. Rocks talk, and a curry can kill you. Sometimes funny, sometimes dark, but always entertaining. Welcome to Telling Tales. The Eden Project. Day one. I've arrived. The weather here is most enjoyable. The air is warm, and only a light breeze can be felt. I found a vegetable patch full of produce, and an orchard containing many varieties of fruit and nuts. There's one very large apple tree at its centre. The master told me I can eat anything from the fruit and nut trees, but not to eat the fruit of the apple tree. He did not explain why. There are some animals. The master tells me they are chickens and lay eggs, which are simple and easy to cook. There's also a stream which runs into a small lake with an abundance of fish swimming in it. The stream water is fresh and pure. I'm delighted. It's everything the master promised and so much more. My accommodation is a dry and well-ventilated cave very close to the orchard. I have made a simple bed of straw, and I cooked one of the chickens in a stew of vegetables over a fire, which I'd made from fallen branches and dry leaves that I found in the orchard. I also found herbs that I'd included in the pot. I'm not sure how I knew they would be good to eat, but the master told me that if the smell and the taste is pleasant to me, they would be safe to use. The stew was one of the most delightful things I've ever eaten, although I can remember little of the before time until the master brought me here, but it's hard to imagine anything could be more enjoyable than this stew. Day 7. I've settled in my new home, and I'm much content with my life. The master visited today, and I told him of my satisfaction. He asked me what had happened to the chickens, as he made 12, and now there were only 9. I told him I had cooked 3 of them, and he told me that more chickens could come from the eggs. But I must get a male chicken that would not lay eggs, but would cause the chickens' eggs to make more chickens. This seemed to be a very whimsical idea to me, but I know better than to disagree with the master, for he likes to brag that he is all-powerful, so I hold my counsel on the chicken and the egg thing. Day 12. A male chicken called a cockerel has appeared and seemed to spend much of its time jumping on the backs of the chickens. I would have thought the chickens would not like to be jumped on, but on the contrary, they push and jostle each other for the attention of the cockerel. Day 40. I have spent 40 days and 40 nights in the Eden, and although everything is wonderful and my daily task of looking after the garden and the trees keeps me busy, I'm becoming a little bored. It is 20 days since the master last visited, and I have no one to talk to except the cockerel, but it is a somewhat one-sided conversation. Day 60. The master visited today, and I told him of my boredom and how I was now so bored I was talking to a cockerel, and he told me he would consider the matter. Day 61. This has been an extraordinary day. I woke up this morning with a terrible ache in my rib cage. On my way back from my daily soak in the lake, I visited the orchard to get some peaches for my breakfast, when under the apple tree I saw another human, almost like myself. I say almost, for there were no dangly bits between the legs, and the chest was not flat but had two bulges. And we stood before each other and for a short while said nothing. Then the master appeared and explained that this was Eve, and I would now be called Adam, and she was like the chickens, and could make humans rather than little chickens, but that she'd need some help from me. I was much comforted by that thought, and my dangly bits seemed quite excited by the idea as well. The master told Eve and I that we could eat anything in the garden, and we could stay as long as we liked, and he hoped we would make some small humans to help us make the garden bigger and better. He then pointed to the red apples that hung from the large tree in the centre of the garden and told Eve she must not eat the fruit of the tree, and if she did, we would have to leave the garden. I then asked why we could not eat the fruit, and the master said we must not, and that's all we need to know. And I was not content with that answer, and once again asked the master why we could not eat the fruit from this tree, when we could eat the fruit of any of the other trees. The master then explained to me that the tree was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that these were things we did not need to know about. Day 65. I had become more and more curious about the apple tree. What is evil? What will happen if I know evil? What will the master do? I told Eve I wanted to taste the apple from the tree of good and evil, and Eve responded by telling me not to be so stupid. We have a great life here, she said, plenty to eat and water to drink, and maybe one day we'd have baby chickens of our own. Let's not spoil that, she said. Day 70. All I can think about is the apple tree. I am obsessed. Consumed with it. I sat under the tree last night and looked up into it, willing an apple to fall so I might claim I didn't pick the fruit, I just picked up a fallen apple. Also a strange thing then happened. I swear I saw a snake curled around the upper part of the tree. But now I looked more closely, I couldn't see anything. I saw the snake again last night. It whispered to me. Told me that if the apples were the sweetest I would ever taste, that the knowledge of good and evil was mine to know, and the master was hiding it from me because it would make me as powerful as he is. I told Eve all about the snake that whispers, but she said it was lack of sleep that was making me hallucinate, and that snakes do not talk, and to leave the apples alone and get on with my work. She then proceeded to scold me for a very long time about how I was neglecting the garden and the cave, and most importantly her, and how I no longer jump on her at night in the cave. Day 90. I'm determined tonight I will eat the apple from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Day 91. Well, that was a disappointment. It was just an apple, and rather a bitter one at that. It did make me realise that all this do what you're told and I'm your master rubbish is not for us. I told Eve I thought we should leave and find a place of our own and not be part of some weird experiment that the master was conducting. Day 100. We had packed our possessions and left the garden. We have travelled quite a long distance and discovered that the land beyond the garden is just as rich and fertile. We have built ourselves a shelter and started to make our own garden. Eve tells me she has a human growing inside her, and we will soon be three. We are both content. The American poet Ruth Sabbath Rosenthal emailed me to say that the Eden Project had reminded her of one of her poems, Lilith, on Adam and the infamous apple, and she thought it would make a good companion piece to the story. In Jewish literature, Lilith is depicted as Adam's first wife and was made from the same soil as Adam and therefore his equal, whereas Eve was created from Adam's rib and meant to be subservient to him. I loved the poem and asked Ruth if she'd record it for me, and have added it to this podcast as a bonus track. Her wonderful New York accent adds an extra dimension to the text. I know you'll enjoy it. This is Lilith on Adam and the Infamous Apple by Ruth Sabbath Rosenthal.
Lilith on Adam and the Infamous Apple. Here it is in a nutshell. It hurt like the devil when I figured out Adam had been a diehard prick from the get-go by not allowing me to flower atop his stem. His refusal to soften his manner or change his position had me swallowing bile, biting my tongue, playing shrinking violet in a vessel of only his delight. I found my roots twisting beyond measure. That I'd been his wife for as long as I had boggles my mind still. What a jackass, a bore, regularly getting in a few good kicks to boot, not to mention the pervasive boredom when we weren't fighting. So in time I found myself siding up to a snake who'd wormed his way into me by declaring he loved women on top, riding him like the stud he was. The downside, he said kids were not fit to live with. And since I was down with that, I began making plans to leave Adam and his religiously ridiculous countdown to fatherhood. All that put in peril by three angels descending on me, threatening if I ever left Adam, they'd kill off score upon score of children they claimed I was fated to bear in the coming years. I countered with a diabiblical twist on their threat. I'd do the killing myself, the angels conceding only after making me swear I'd spare all newborns wearing a talisman bearing the angels' images and or their names. Feeling rather ballsy after sealing that deal, I hatched a second scheme. I'd demonize men deep in sleep, turning the bulk of them into licentious prigs, lusting to distraction, and the rest further to perversion. With score upon score of my offspring expected from these nocturnal liaisons, not to mention the three sons I bore Adam during our failed reconciliation, I plan on carrying out my campaign for eons to come. Whispering in women's ears daily, I'll encourage each to cease acting beneath men in any manner or form. As for Adam and his fanciful notion of a fit wife, which I well remember unmercifully ribbing him about upon leaving, the fact that she actually materialized and right beside him as he slept has long rivaled the best of my conjurings thus far and is testament to my ungodly powers of persuasion. Think about this. When Eve bit into the now infamous apple, she revealed herself as the pupil I'd envisioned she'd be. In that auspicious moment, Eve sealed the fate of generation after generation of her and Adam's progeny. Progeny cursed with infant mortality and infanticide, all manner of sexual depravity, infidelity, divorce, and God knows what else.
If you enjoyed this episode, then please support my podcast by buying me a coffee. It's £2 a cup. Click the heart logo in the top corner of the website page to donate. If you're on another podcast provider, then check out buymeacoffee.com and search for Jeff Price N3. Thank you. You can contact Telling Tales direct by emailing tellingtalesjeffprice@gmail.com. Until the next time, goodbye.